3 weeks ago, the Houston government announced $304 million in cuts. This week, they walked back $53.6 million of it. That sounds significant until you do the math. It's less than 18% of the total. The programs they chose to spare and the ones they didn't reveal more about political calculation than fiscal philosophy.
And that's exactly what we want to unpack today. Not just what changed, but times why times these specific programs, asterisk why times now, and what the remaining 82% of cuts means for anyone running services or managing staff in Nova Scotia. Because the headline, budget reversal, is technically accurate and practically misleading at the same time.
Let's establish the baseline. The original budget had two distinct pools of cuts. First, $130 million in discretionary grants funding to external organizations, nonprofits, service providers. Second, $174 million tied directly to workforce reductions, roughly 2,600 positions across the civil service and broader public sector.
The $53.6 million restoration comes entirely from that first pool, the discretionary grants. Not a dollar of the $174 million in job cut savings has been reversed. So, when the government says it listened and responded, it's worth being precise. It responded to one category of pressure, not both.
Within the restored amount, four programs dominate. The meal delivery program for seniors gets back $16 million. Operating grants for long-term care facilities and home care agencies, $6.7 million. Disability support facilities, $3.3 million. Enhanced adult day programming, $2.4 million. That's $28.4 million more than half the total restoration concentrated in seniors and disability services.
Which raises an immediate question. What accounts for the other $25 million? The government hasn't itemized it publicly. That's not a minor detail. If you're a program administrator trying to understand whether your funding is restored, trust us, it's in there, is not a workable answer.
Fair point. And it connects to the broader transparency criticism we'll come back to. But first, the nursing home piece, because it's not just about money.
The long-term care restoration stands out because it involves two separate reversals. The funding is back, yes. But the government also canceled the planned 3% staff reduction for nursing homes that was embedded in the original budget. Those are distinct decisions with different operational consequences.
Explain why that distinction matters practically.
Because a funding cut and a staffing mandate cut affect organizations differently. A funding cut gives administrators some flexibility. They can absorb it, find efficiencies, adjust programming. A mandated staffing reduction removes that flexibility. You're told to cut bodies, regardless of your operational reality. Nursing homes were already under occupancy and acuity pressure. A 3% staff cut in that environment doesn't produce efficiency, it produces risk.
So the government recognized that particular target was either operationally infeasible or politically untenable. Seniors Minister Barbara Adams confirmed the 3% cut no longer applies. That's a clear, concrete reversal.
Here's where I want to flag the fact interpretation boundary explicitly. Asterisk. Fact. Asterisk, the nursing home staffing cut is canceled for this fiscal year. Asterisk. Interpretation. Asterisk. The government concluded the original target was unachievable without visible service harm or that the political cost of proceeding exceeded the savings. We don't know which logic drove the decision, and the government hasn't said.
And the critical caveat, the broader sustainability plan still projects 3% annual reductions across the broader public sector for each of the next 3 years. The nursing home sector got a reprieve. The structural pressure on staffing hasn't been removed, it's been deferred or redirected elsewhere.
The education sector is the sharpest contrast here. Regional centers for education are still facing their full grant reductions. Education Minister Brendan Maguire confirmed this explicitly, those cuts are proceeding.
That's worth sitting with. Both health and education employ frontline workers. Both faced organized criticism after the original budget. Only one sector saw substantial restoration. What explains the difference?
I'd offer two possible readings, and I think both are partially true. First, political salience. Senior services generate concentrated, organized advocacy families, unions, provider associations with high media visibility. The backlash was loud, specific, and emotionally resonant. Education advocacy, while real, may have been less immediately galvanizing.
Second reading?
Operational urgency. Cuts to nursing home staffing produce visible, rapid harm falls, medication errors, delayed care. Cuts to regional education centers produce harm that's real, but slower to manifest and harder to attribute directly to a budget line. The government may be applying a triage logic. Spare the cuts most likely to generate immediate, attributable crisis.
That's an interpretation worth naming clearly. This doesn't look like a principled retreat from austerity. It looks like selective damage control protecting the programs where cuts would produce the most visible, rapid political consequences.
And if that's the logic, it has implications for what's still at risk. Programs where pain is diffuse, delayed, or affects constituencies with less political leverage are proceeding. That's a signal, not just a budget line.
Opposition leaders have made this the central frame. NDP leader Claudia Chender focused on transparency and honesty, the suggestion being that the government either didn't understand the impacts when it announced cuts, or understood them and misrepresented them.
Those are genuinely different accusations with different implications. If it's a competence failure they didn't model the impacts properly, that's a process problem. If it's a transparency failure they knew and announced anyway, that's a trust problem. Gender's language implies the latter, but the evidence supports at least the former.
Interim Liberal leader Iain Rankin raised the forward-looking version of the same concern. If these cuts couldn't withstand scrutiny, what confidence should we have in the cuts still planned? That's not just partisan positioning, it's a legitimate governance question.
And it's unanswered. The reversal came without published criteria. No formal review process was described, no independent assessment was cited. From the outside, this looks like decisions made under political pressure in closed rooms, then announced as fait accompli. That's not inherently wrong, governments do this, but it makes forward planning genuinely difficult for organizations depending on provincial funding.
We should acknowledge what we don't know here. There may have been analytic work inside Treasury Board that hasn't been disclosed. The absence of public criteria doesn't prove the absence of internal criteria. But from an accountability standpoint, the process looks opaque, and the government hasn't moved to address that.
Here's the question I keep returning to. The $53.6 million restoration is funded within the same fiscal year. No new revenue has been announced. So where does it come from?
The government hasn't said explicitly. The logical options are offsetting reductions in other program lines that haven't been detailed, drawdown of contingency reserves, or revised revenue projections. None of those have been confirmed.
Premier Houston has maintained throughout that the $1.2 billion deficit is the governing constraint that efficiency and frontline protection are compatible. But the partial reversal implicitly concedes that some of what was called efficiency was actually service reduction. You can't have it both ways.
Interpretation. Either the fiscal plan is now internally inconsistent, the numbers don't add up without something else giving, or there are additional unannounced cuts coming in lines that haven't attracted the same scrutiny. Neither reading is reassuring for program stability.
And the out-year workforce targets compound this. 5% annual civil service reduction, 3% broader public sector for three consecutive years. Cumulatively, that's substantial. If natural attrition falls short, which it often does, the choice becomes involuntary layoffs or missed targets. The nursing home reversal suggests the government knows some cuts are operationally infeasible. But the aggregate targets haven't been adjusted to reflect that.
So how should listeners read the government's core message? Houston has framed this as responsive governance listening, adjusting, protecting front lines, while controlling the deficit.
The charitable reading. This is exactly how iterative budget making should work. You announce, you consult, you adjust where the evidence demands it. Governments that never reverse course aren't principled, they're rigid.
The skeptical reading. The original cuts were announced without adequate impact assessment, the reversal was driven by political pressure rather than new evidence, and the criteria for future adjustments remain undisclosed. That's not responsive governance, it's reactive damage control.
I think the honest answer is probably both, in different proportions for different programs. The meal delivery and nursing home reversals look like genuine recognition that the original cuts were operationally unworkable. The education cuts proceeding unchanged looks like political triage. The lack of published criteria makes it impossible to know which logic applies where.
Which is itself the problem. Organizations can't plan in an environment where the rules of adjustment are opaque.
Five concrete indicators that will tell us whether this reversal was a recalibration or just a delay.
First quarter public accounts. Watch whether the $53.6 million restoration appears as net new spending or is offset by deeper cuts elsewhere. If there's no offsetting detail, that signals either fiscal slippage or reserve depletion and raises questions about what comes next.
Second, collective bargaining language. Nursing home and disability support contracts negotiated this year may reference the now reversed staffing targets. Whether those clauses survive or get stripped in negotiations will signal how durable the reversal actually is.
Third, Treasury Board workforce reports. Quarterly headcount data will show whether the 5% civil service reduction target is being met through attrition or whether involuntary departures are beginning. That's the leading indicator for whether the broader workforce plan is sustainable.
Fourth, estimates debate amendments. Opposition MLAs have already flagged education and health for further pressure. Watch whether government members hold firm on all remaining cuts or show flexibility on specific lines that will reveal whether the reversal logic extends beyond seniors' services.
Fifth, and most important, the Year 2 budget. If the 2026-27 budget maintains the three-year sustainability targets despite this year's partial retreat, the reversal was tactical, a one-time political adjustment. If the targets are relaxed or restructured, it signals a genuine strategic shift. That's the test that matters.
The Houston government bought itself breathing room with this partial reversal. It did not buy clarity. The programs restored were those with the most visible, immediate political costs. The structural fiscal pressures and the workforce reduction targets remain intact.
For organizations depending on provincial funding, the message is genuinely mixed. Some immediate threats have lifted. But the planning environment remains volatile. The criteria for future adjustments are undisclosed, and roughly 82% of the original fiscal tightening is still active. The next 6 months of implementation will tell us whether this was recalculation or just delay.
We'll track those five indicators and return as the data comes in. Thanks for listening.